It is a great delight for me to welcome to this pulpit once again our brother, Mr. Johnson, and we welcome him heartily. And we pray for him in the onerous task that he has at this time as moderator of our presbytery. And we assure him of our prayers and our support as he carries out the duties of that task. And so we welcome you, Brother Ron. God bless you and give you the
thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Paisley. We're turning to Philippians chapter 1, the passage that was read for us by the Reverend Jim Beggs. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read again our text from verse 3. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's just bow briefly, please, in the Lord's presence. Our Father, we thank Thee for the occasion for which we're gathered to worship Thee and to adore Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for this epistle that's been written for our learning. And we pray this morning that we'd know the true joy that Paul is writing about. Bless our meditation this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is known as the Epistle of Joy, for the word joy or rejoice occurs about 19 times in the book. Now, it's not some natural joy. It's the joy of Jesus Christ. For this book is also about the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is mentioned 20 times in the book. You see, there's joy in Jesus. There's joy, the joy of Jesus, the joy that's in Jesus. There's the joy that's with Jesus. Real joy. Satisfying joy. And you can't have real joy without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In fact, when the Savior was heading towards Calvary, he spoke more about joy than he had in his earlier ministry, and he said to his disciples, "My joy I give unto you." And so, it's as you know the Lord and fellowship with Him, you have joy. Joy is not so much a commodity that He gives to you. Joy is Jesus Christ. And the more you know Him and walk with Him and fellowship with Him, the more you will experience true and lasting joy. The joy of being saved. If you're not saved here this morning, you don't understand the great joy of having God as your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit as the friend who lives within you, the Bible as your guide. The terrible things that you're missing out on the joy. Now, Paul is writing to this church about joy. He rejoiced in this church. He loved this church. Now, he founded many churches, but this church he loved. You see that in verse 7. I have you in my heart. In verse 8, I long for you all in the bowels. That means with the deep affection of Jesus Christ. Paul really loved this church at Philippi. We could say the church at Corinth had discouraged Paul. The church at Galatia had depressed him with its false teaching. But the church at Philippi delighted Paul. We could say Corinth had hurt him, Galatia had hindered him, but Philippians had heartened him. Paul loved this church. And could I say this morning, I love the Free Presbyterian Church. I know people would say, oh, you're to love the Lord first. We do love the Lord first. Of course we do. We love the Lord first and we serve Him above everything and anything else, and our loyalty is to Him. But under God, in directing us into this church, I say along with you this morning that we love this church. And we thank God for this church. Of course, we're not foolish enough to believe that we're the only church that God can use. We're not arrogant enough to say that. But this is the church God has led us into. And therefore we say this morning, as Paul said of this church, that he loved this church. And this church gave him great joy. He's lying in a prison cell, hundreds of miles away from this congregation. News comes back and forward through Epaphroditus and Timothy. And as Paul lies in prison, he writes to this church and he said, Don't worry about me, I'm rejoicing. And the thing that causes me to rejoice is I remember the church in Philippi. Let me tell you some reasons why I believe Paul loved this church and why I can say truthfully this morning I love the Free Presbyterian Church. First of all, because it's formation. It's formation. Paul is writing here in verse 3, I thank my God of all remembrance of you. Every remembrance of you, the formation of the church. It's a remarkable story how this church at Philippi was started. Do you know, in Acts 16, we'll not turn to it for time, but you read the story. The story begins with the opposition of the Holy Spirit. The opposition of the Holy Spirit. That's a strange thing to say. But what we mean is this. Paul said, I'll make plans to go into Asia and preach the gospel there. There's a door seems to be open, I'll go there. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go that way. And then Paul said, well, I'll go to Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, that's not the way for you to go either. The Lord shut the doors. You see, if you're going to walk with God, you have to listen to the no of the Holy Spirit as well as the go of the Holy Spirit. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but so are the stops. So are the stops. Somebody well said this, when God stops your steps, you had better not step over his stops. I'll not try that again, but I think I said it right. The Holy Spirit stopped Paul from going certain ways. I remember learning to drive. Some people still think I haven't learned well enough, but been taught by my late father to drive up on the Montgomery Road. You know, one of the first things he taught me was the brake. Not the accelerator, the brake. The stops. God prevented Paul from going in certain directions. Paul was a man led by the Spirit of God. And early in the 1950s, Dr. Paisley was stopped by the Holy Spirit from going in various directions. There were many doors open to him. Many great opportunities. Many people offering him missions with great crowds. But the Holy Spirit stopped Dr. Paisley from going that way. And we're glad he did. We're glad Dr. Paisley listened to the Holy Spirit saying, don't go that way. Because not only do you read in the formation the opposition of the Holy Spirit, thank God when you study this passage, there's the opportunity of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit said, go into Macedonia, here's a door. And God led your minister here in Ravenhill, now Martyrs Memorial, to go through the open door. Now, when I say an open door, it was still difficult. But when Dr. Paisley said no to compromise with ecumenism and turned away from those ways, wouldn't go down that road, God opened the door of opportunity to be the founder of the Free Presbyterian denomination. God opened a great and effectual door because God the Holy Spirit in His sovereignty wanted Dr. Paisley on the Ravenhill Road to do a great work for God that would reach into the whole world. Thank God for the opportunity of the Holy Spirit. But then there's the operation of the Holy Spirit. I rejoice in that. You see, in Philippi, when Paul went to preach, there were people converted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lydia, a saleswoman of purple clothes, she was converted. A demonic young lady was converted. The rough prison warder was converted. And as Paul lay in prison, he rejoiced as he thought about the formation of the church in Philippi. And many of you can think back to the early days of the Free Church and thank God for its formation. You know, chapter 1 begins with the word Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. The name of Paul is always to this day synonymous with the church at Philippi. Today, the name of Dr. Ian Richard Kyle Paisley is and always will be synonymous with the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank God for the operation of the Holy Spirit in those early days. Now, I was not here in the 1950s. I was born, but I wasn't active in the church. You would know that looking up. But seriously, in the mid-60s, early to mid-60s, when I came to Ravenhill, I remember those days with joy. Down in the Ravenhill Church, God moving in miraculous power. We thank God for the move to the Ulster Hall. I was attending the church. Remember Cromick Square? Remember our minister going into prison? My Philippi is a prison epistle. Paul's writing this from the prison. Some of us can remember coming along to the Ulster Hall with sad that our minister was incarcerated, and yet with a joy in our heart because he was standing for the Lord. And my, to read those letters that were read out each week that our minister had penned in the prison cell, what a joy that was. Mrs. Paisley would often read those out. Remember the Reverend Beggs coming along, Sundays, other men. I'll never forget the joy that we had in those days and the formation of the church when the Lord began to work. I remember this going through the book of Romans. I think it was 2 years the minister took to go through the book of Romans. When he got out of jail, those messages prepared in the prison cell. Just let you into a wee secret just for a minute or two. And I hope Dr. Paisley's forgiven me for this. You see, oh, I hope he has. Amen. You have to now. The hardback book of the exposition to the Romans. I remember it published. I think it was £1, 2 and 6. But myself and somebody else in the church were very friendly with someone who worked in a certain bookshop. Isn't that right, Joe? And we got a copy each before they were launched. And I remember us going into the Ulster Hall up to the room that you had before the service saying, Dr. Paisley, would you sign this exposition? And you said, Brother, where did you get those books from? I haven't got mine yet. It's because we got them illegally before they were published. But I still treasure that. So I have the first signed copy of the Book of Romans by your minister. But what a great joy those days were, the formation of the Free Church. But look at verse 5. I thank God for the fellowship of the Free Presbyterian Church. The fellowship in the gospel, that means participation. It's a fellowship in soul winning. And oh, the burden that your minister has had to get the gospel light out, not only to the Ravenhill Road. I'll never forget in the Ulster Hall as he stood one Sunday morning and he reached his hands into the air as only Dr. Paisley can. And he said to the congregation, we've a duty to the Ravenhill Road. But when that's finished, that doesn't mean we've paid our debt. We've a debt to East Belfast. We've a debt to Belfast. We've a debt to Northern Ireland. We've a debt to this island of Ireland. We've a debt to Europe. We've a debt to the world. Oh, that the world might taste and see. I remember Dr. Paisley preaching that and the Lord speaking to my heart and other young people's hearts to give our lives to serve the Lord. We thank God for the fellowship in the gospel. You see, you don't see soul-winning churches fighting. They don't have time to fight. Soul winners would rather fight Satan than fight saints. They would rather further the faith than fracture the fellowship. It's a fellowship in the Spirit. In chapter 2 it says a fellowship in the Spirit. You know, in the church, the Free Presbyterian Church, we've had a close fellowship because it's a spiritual fellowship. It's the bond of the Holy Spirit has united us together. By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. Dwight Moody said this, there are two ways of being united, frozen together or melted together. We in this church have been melted. We're not frozen together by, rusted together by ritualism, or frozen together by formalism, or linked together by liberalism. We're melted together by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the fellowship of the church. In chapter 4:14, the words translated communicated, to share with. And I'm glad I'm in a church where people stand together and share one another's sorrow. I don't know if you've ever seen the great redwood trees in the United States. You know those trees that grow to 200 to 300 feet high? In fact, there's pictures of them where they actually have an arch carved in one where you can drive a car through. Tremendous trees. You may think to yourself they're very deep roots. They don't. You say, how do they, such mighty trees in the storms? They grow together in a group and the roots intertwine with each other. That's what keeps them strong. That's what keeps our fellowship strong. We're intertwined with one another. And the fellowship is in the Savior. I think of the future of the church members. Thank God for that. In verse 6, as Paul lay in prison, he said, being confident of this very thing, which he hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the future. When Adoniram Judson, the missionary in Burma, saw his converts killed, murdered for the faith, he in a dungeon, one of his critics said, what about the future of God's work now? He said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. We'd add to that, and as secure as the throne of God. And Paul is saying, you converts, I know if you're truly saved, it's a good work. Salvation is a good work. God has done a good work in hearts here this morning. He saved us. But it's God's work. Salvation is not by us. Salvation's of the Lord. And it's not only a good work in God's work, but it's a guaranteed work. For what God commences, he continues and will conclude. You and I sometimes start things and we don't finish them. But God always finishes what he starts. And thank God if you're here saved this morning, the Lord will keep you. I thank God for the formation of the Free Church. I thank God for the fellowship in the Free Church with and under Dr. Paisley. I thank God for the future of those who have been saved through the Free Church's ministry, that God will keep them. I thank God for what we could call the framework of the church. What do I mean by that? Well, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. There's the framework of the church. Saints, bishops, that's elders, and deacons. The church is made up of saints. Martyrs, Memorial, Free Presbyterian saints. Of course, the world is a strange idea of saints. Now, I'm sure this wasn't a Free Presbyterian minister I heard about. But I heard that there was a man in a certain town, the worst man in the town. He was a gambler, a robber, he embezzled the elderly out of their money, drunken, spent most of his life in jail, the most evil man in the community. And he died. The minister heard about it, said, oh, that man, never knew him, but he's died. And the man's brother came to him and said, would you do the funeral for my brother? The minister said, well, I'll do it, but I never knew the man, I heard about him. Then the man said, but on one condition, would you say at the funeral that my brother was a real saint? The man said, I couldn't say that. Sure, everybody knows about him. Real profligate, a real evil man. He says, well, if you'll do it, I'll give you £1,000 for the building fund. So the minister said, certainly I'll do it. Certainly, no problem. And he did. He got the check first. Maybe he was a Free Presbyterian. But at the funeral he said this man we're burying, I didn't know him, but I was told he was the worst sinner in the community. Fighting, gambling, stealing off the elderly, every crime he committed, he was known as the worst man in the area. But compared to his brother, he was a real saint. Well, saint has nothing to do with how we compare ourselves to other people. A saint is not somebody canonized by the church. A saint is someone who's washed in the blood of Christ. A saint simply means separated. And when you come to Christ as Savior, you become a saint of God. That means that you're separated out of the world and separated unto Christ. And Paul in prison said, I thank God for the converted, the saved, the saints in the church. And we thank God this morning for the members of our churches who have been born again by the Spirit of God. And then he said, the elders. The elders, that's what our presbytery is all about. You have elders here that guide the church under your teaching elder, Dr. Paisley. Our presbytery is made up of the elders of our churches. Why? Because Acts 15, it was all the elders of the churches came together. Listen, it's the Free Presbyterian Church. That's what Presbyterianism now, talking about the government. We're one church. We're one church with different congregations. You need to remember that. We're one church. And of course, your minister has led this church as moderator and chaired the meetings of the elders as they meet together. And Dr. Douglas has, I should mention to you, has stepped down too from presbytery, from his position of clerk. He stepped down from his position of clerk after 32 years. He too has served our denomination. But one last one. I thank God for the formation of this church and the vision given to Dr. Paisley, and how under the Holy Spirit this church was formed. Continuation. Thank God for its fellowship. I thank God for the fabric of the church, if you like, how it's gone forward. But I thank God for the fight of this church as well. Look at verse 7. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul in verse 17 said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. You see, Paul warned that wolves would come in. Oh, there are those today that say you don't need to fight for the faith. You do. There's a battle for the Bible. There's a cause for which to contend. And Paul said in verse 17, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And today when I think of the Free Presbyterian Church and its history, I thank God and I joy at the fights there have been for the faith. One of the first protests I remember was when I was a teenager walking through Cromwich Square. I'm getting, I think you, Dr. Paisley called it the Pope's confetti thrown at us. The protest at the sellout of the Presbyterian Church. Remember, I was in Methody at the time and wore a wee blazer. And the next day, the chaplain at Methody, who turned down to May Street, was standing looking and he saw me in the crowd. Did I get it the next day? But what are you doing there? What are you doing with that man? Remember a teacher saying to me, if you follow that man, Dr. Paisley, he'll get you into trouble. Of course, he was right, wasn't he? Blessed trouble. You'd rather be in the trouble with God's people and men like Dr. Paisley than just live a life out of trouble. I had the joy to stand in some of the battles with Dr. Paisley over these years. And I'll always be grateful in all my life for those days of having the privilege to stand with your moderator for many years in our church and your minister. Thank God for those days. Some of them were difficult protests. But thank God for a man that has not been ashamed to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege to stand outside the World Council of Churches at Amsterdam with a few other ministers, protest the 50th anniversary. Reverend Beattie was there, some others. I had the privilege of going with Reverend Beattie, Reverend Brown over to Zimbabwe. We had letters of protest from our church to hand in. We handed into the office, but we were able to protest at the media, the press conference. And it just, the Lord worked it out that we were face to face with the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. And I was able to put into his hand a copy of a letter and say, this letter is from Dr. Paisley and the Free Presbyterian Church to protest against the actions of the World Council of Churches. That was one of the most joyful days of my life, to be able to do that. Thank God for the fight for the faith. The fight for the faith. I remember coming back in 1974. Some of you in the church know we went into missionary training in 69. So for 10 years we're sort of back and forward. And I remember coming back on one occasion when Dr. Paisley's dear wife, Mrs. Paisley, was standing for election and having the privilege of being asked to help in that election. And what an honour it was. And then I remember coming home and the PR had come out for the first time. And I remember I was staying with my father and mother. And they were coming round the doors, a certain political party, and there were two ladies, and they came with the clipboards, and they were trying to explain proportional representation, East Belfast. And my father, he worked full-time in Christian service, and he loved to talk to people, witness, and so he plays things very canny. And so he said to the ladies, well, can you explain PR to me? What does this mean? She says, well, if you don't want to vote for us first, if you put us next, well, he said, well, what's the benefit of that? Well, you'll keep out the extremists. He said, now, who would that be? Well, you know, Mrs. Paisley standing in East Belfast. And of course, that's Dr. Paisley's wife, so you won't want to vote for her, I'm sure. He said, well, why not? Well, why should I not go for her? Do you know her husband criticized our minister and attacked him? And my father, never forget, as I was standing behind him, said, "What? You mean a minister criticizing another minister? That's a terrible thing to do. I wonder why he did that." Oh, just because our minister doesn't believe the virgin birth. Then my father said, "Good on him, all credit to Dr. Paisley. Your minister deserves condemned." Maybe you're here this morning and don't realize that's the state of the Presbyterian Church in those days. There were ministers openly denying to their congregation that they believed the virgin birth. But thank God they knew there was a man in Belfast that would stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the fight of the faith. This church at Philippi brought great joy to Paul. I've experienced great joy in the free church. Paul loved this church. Yes, he loved Christ, but he loved this church. And if you love the Lord, you'll love what the Lord loves. And the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. His preaching led to the formation of this church. He prayed for this church. He pleaded with this church, for in chapter 4 he pleaded with two ladies to not to mend their differences and to be of one mind in the Lord. Paul loved this church. It was part of his life. Now I know the free church isn't perfect. How could it be with me in it? Don't you laugh, because you're in it too. No, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But I can say, I thank the great King and Head of the Church that he's enabled me to be a part of this church. And that he has given me the great honour and privilege of being sitting under the ministry of Dr. Paisley. Being called into full-time service under Dr. Paisley. And privileged to serve as a minister of the church for some years under his leadership. And to be associated with him. And today, I want to, on behalf of our whole presbytery, to commend you, Dr. Paisley, for your years of faithful leadership as moderator of this denomination. And on this occasion, I call upon all of us to dedicate ourselves to the Saviour, to work in the Free Church and under the Free Church and through the Free Church, and to love this church and to pray the Lord will sanctify it and unify it and edify it and multiply this church. May God bless you, Dr. Paisley, in the coming days.
Well, as Dr. Paisley said, that Reverend Beggs, of course, has been in our church a lot longer than I have. Ballymena Church, also the deputy moderator, and here he and I are here. And we just want to, in front of the home congregation of Dr. Paisley, to give a gift to him from the presbytery of our church.
Thank you,
Dr. Paisley. And then also, we want to present this to you, and what it reads is this: the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, presented to the Right Honourable Dr. Ian R.K. Paisley, with thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and only Head of the Church, we, the ministers and elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, commend you in the name of Christ for your years of faithful leadership as moderator of the General Presbytery of the Church. We give praise to God for the singular and numerous gifts with which he has blessed you, and for the diligence with which you have sought to employ those gifts in the establishment and advancement of the work of our various congregations, not only in Ulster, but across the world. Your evangelistic zeal, your passion for souls, your vision to establish a Presbyterian church that would stand for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ against the attacks of ecumenical apostasy, and your dedication to the glory of God will ever be an inspiration to us all. On completion of your years of devoted labours as moderator, we commend you to God and to the word of his grace, and commit ourselves to be faithful in pursuing the vision that the Lord, through you, has set before us. Presented this day at Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church, the third day of February, in the year of our Lord, 2008. And we do, Dr. Paisley, present this to you and pray that God will continue to bless you and lead you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, I'd like to say how grateful I am for this plaque, which will have a place of honor in my library. And I thank the presbytery, too, for their gift. There's one word that I might say, and it is this, that we all have a duty to obey the Lord. Even if the world stands up and says to you, you have not to do it. Even your friends tell you that you're going to lose support, and you don't want to lose support. You have to obey God. And I have proved in my life to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. And I believe that God has great days ahead of us. We're only starting. And if here it is so blessed, what will it be above? I thank the brethren for being here. I thank our brother Ron for his timely remarks of encouragement to us all. The battle is on. The enemies are thinking that they have won a great victory. But God turns the victories of his enemies into glorious victories for himself. And God does all things well.
Yes. Could I just say very briefly that I am very pleased to be identified with this service this morning and to endorse all that Mr. Johnson has already said in regard to Dr. Paisley. I go back, of course, even longer than Mr. Johnson. You wouldn't think that to look at us, of course. Not really to the very commencement of the Free Church, but over 50 years ago. And so I have been associated with your pastor and minister for many long years, not only in the political realm, but in the church as well, and, of course, in our family connections too. And I would endorse all that has been said concerning him. We owe him a great debt of gratitude, first of all, as a province. Where would our province be today without him? Amen. And, of course, also, as a denomination, as a presbytery, we owe Dr. Paisley a tremendous debt of gratitude. There would be no Free Church, humanly speaking. We wouldn't be here worshipping outside the camp today apart from him. And as Ron has said, Dr. Paisley's name will always be identified with the witness and the stand and the testimony of this church. And you as a congregation here, who have been closely and intimately identified with him, in the work of God, owe him a great debt of gratitude, and we pay tribute to him. Thank God for his witness, his stand, his testimony, his courage, his sacrifice for God and his work over the years. And we trust that God will continue to bless him in these present days and in the days to come. There is a text that came to my heart today. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Them that honour me, I will honour. And God has been pleased to honour Dr. Paisley as he has honoured the Lord over these many long years. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Jim, thank you very much for those words. Very touching words to my heart. Jim and me have been battling together for many years. And I must say that if you want a good man at your side in a tough fight, the best man I know is James Baggs. He doesn't wilt under the sun. He doesn't change under the wind. He stands true and faithful. And I think that the greatest thing that my sister did was to marry him. She tried to make a Paisley out of him. But that would be impossible, because he is what he is, and I wouldn't want him to be one bit different at all. God bless you, James. Father, we thank thee for thy leading and thy guiding and thy sustaining grace. And one day we'll bless the hand that guided, and we'll bless the heart that planned. when throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. We thank thee for keeping us, for preserving us, for helping us, for blessing us, and for encouraging us. And we pray now that we may go out renewed in thou from the depths of our soul to be men and women of God's choice. Men and women keeping God's commandments. Men and women who will stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made them free and will not be entangled again in any yoke of bondage. Go with us this day. Bless the moderator of our church who has spoken so clearly to us today. Bless his dear wife and family. Protect them. Bless them in Armagh to the honor and glory of your name. Bless our brother Jim here and Margaret. We commit them lovingly to thee. And we pray that they may know thy blessing that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And everybody said,
Amen
and shouted, Hallelujah. God bless you and be with you. Amen.